Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle in Jesus' name right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, amen, where it is our mission for you to be ye transformed in Jesus' name, amen. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, amen, not by my voice. It's not because of my voice that you're blessed, but because if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are yet in the land of the living on today in Jesus' name. And that is a reason to give God praise on today. We praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. I'm not going to do a Bishop Carver today and name every person that's listening, but I praise God for each and every person that is listening around the world in Jesus' name. And thank God. I want to first thank God. The Lord has blessed me to be in this fight with the enemy, with the devil, for a long time. And I don't feel no ways tired. I really don't. I don't feel tired. I'm going to go on and see what the end is going to be. But I thank God for being with you on today in Jesus' name. The Lord has blessed on this week in Jesus' name. And we have a very, 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 very great topic for you today, but I want to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life in Jesus' name, and I want to give honor to my pastor and my first lady in Jesus' name, Pastor William Tuggle III and First Lady Cosette Tuggle in Jesus' name. I praise God for our watchmen on the wall of this network. Bishop Cook, God bless you in Jesus' name. We give honor to you as the watchman on the wall for this network in Jesus' name. Amen. And to all of the Spirit Alive family, praise God for you in Jesus' name. And I want to, last but not least, certainly not least, I want to give honor to my wife in Jesus' name. Amen. Kaswana Tuggle, praise God for you in Jesus' name. I praise God for my children in Jesus' name and everybody in their respective places in Jesus' name. On today, we are talking about a very, very familiar topic today. It is, and it has been granted unto me by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has granted me the opportunity to talk about this topic on today. And I've been doing radio and for a couple years now. Since 2015 January of 2015 is when I started doing radio, and I didn't think that this platform that the Lord has blessed me with would touch as many souls as it has. But the Lord has blessed me, and I thank God for every single time that the Lord gives me an opportunity to do this. I thank God for it. I do not take it for granted. But today, we are talking about a topic: leave no
room for error. And you might say, well, wow, that's powerful. What do you mean by that? Leave no room for error. When we look in the body of Christ and then we look in the world, we see that in the church world and in the world, some of us, we tend to leave room for error in our life. When God gave me this topic, the Lord was showing me that we as people of God sometimes get laxed in our relationship with God. Things that we did when we first got saved, we sort of eased up a little bit. And I'm going to say it the way the Lord gives it to me. My father used to tell me before I got married, I was in counsel with my father, me and my wife, and he gave me the greatest advice. He said, the same thing you did to get that woman is the same thing you need to do to keep that woman. The same thing you did to get that wife is the same thing you need to do to keep her. So with that regard, I say this unto the people, I say this unto you all that are listening on today. The same thing you did to get that relationship with God is the same thing you need to do to keep that relationship with God. It was holiness then, it is holiness now. If it was repentance then, it is repentance now. If it is being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ then, it is being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ now. If it is receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, then it is receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost now. If it was speaking in tongues, then it's speaking in tongues now. The Bible lets us know that God does not change. We have changed. Leave no room for error. What do you mean, Brother Adam? I mean, when we look at our life, we cannot be laxy-daisy with our life, especially our walk with God, because we're leaving room for error. God gave me this illustration in the spirit, and he allowed me to see it through the natural. He used the natural to allow me to see it in the spirit. He used, what he showed me was in the middle of, before I go to bed at night, my wife, before me and my wife and my children lay down to go to sleep, she says, Adam, did you get up and make sure everything was locked up? Because sometimes she reminds me. And sometimes I just get up and, before I go to bed, before I lay down, get comfortable and everything, I make sure the doors is locked, windows is locked, and everything else. We make sure, because I don't want to have any room for anybody to come into my home, try to mess up my home or try to steal something out of my home, right? The Bible lets us know you cannot bind the strong man. You can't bind a strong man. Amen? But if that strong man has allowed, if he leaves room for error, you can bind that strong man. You can bind a strong man. You can't take out of a man's house unless that man's house is not locked up. You might say, well, Brother Adam, where are you getting at? We have the same thing that we did to get saved. The same thing that we did to get to the level that we're at is the same thing we need to do, not more to go to the next level in God. In the book of Ephesians, I'm going to give you scripture because I don't just want to talk about it. I want to show you scripture. There is, in the book of Ephesians, scripture to back up what I'm talking about today. In the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, starting at verse number 18. And I want you, now these verses I'm getting ready to read unto you, I'm going to read it until the Lord says stop, till the Lord tells me to stop. But I want you to focus on, there's a certain verse that I want you to focus on that gives meaning to the topic today. Amen? I'm going to start at the 18th verse. It says, having the understanding, having the understanding darkness, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Now these are the people that have given unto, the Lord is telling us to walk in his ways. But we really haven't understood where God is trying to go. We start off in a race, in this walk with God, when we first get saved. We're so filled up with zeal because we feel like, oh my God, all of that stuff that was on me is now off of me, and we have so much zeal and we have so much desire to want to walk with God, and we have so much desire to not even want, we have so much desire and so much zeal that we don't even want to step on an ant. Amen. But when we go month and year after year, then our walk with God, and I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but our walk tends to get a little bit laxed. Well, we started off praying every day, and we was in the Word of God, and we were fasting, and we were praising. We start to become lax. We start to become laxy-daisy. And we wonder why our lives are not lining up to the Word of God. And we wonder why we're not being blessed the way we should be. And we wonder why our lives are out of control sometimes, because we're not doing the things, because we're leaving room for error. We're leaving room for error in our life. And God gave me this analogy, the same thing that we do in the midnight hour when we get ready to go to bed. We lock up everything and we leave no room for a person coming to us to break into our homes. We need to do the same thing with the spirit in our life. We need to lock up the things that Satan would try to bring to us. We need to lock up our flesh. We need to crucify. And what I mean by locking up our flesh, I mean crucify the flesh on a day-to-day basis. We need to stay on our knees in prayer. And some of us, we tend to, when we see Satan coming, or we see our flesh rising, then are we getting to a state where we feel like we can't get out, we start turning to other stuff. If it's not broke, don't fix it. If it's not broke, don't fix it. If prayer was working for you, if God was answering your prayer, and if you were fasting and things were happening for you, why would you go to another resource? Why would you go to another source trying to fix what's trying to be broken? Why would you use, see, the Bible lets us know that we must be careful for nothing. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says be careful for nothing. Amen? Four little words, very powerful. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Why is the Lord saying be careful for nothing? Because in any area of our life, the enemy could ease his way on in. Our flesh could rise up. But it's our job. And when the Bible says be careful for nothing, it doesn't just say be careful for nothing like, oh, you have to be in fear. It doesn't mean that. It means be on alert. Be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. Matter of fact, I want to, because I got it in my notes, and I'm trying to go the way of my notes, but the Lord is taking me a different, the Lord is doing this. I'm moving the way the Lord has me to move. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 4. I'm going to go back to this verse because I want to, matter of fact, hold on. Before we read Philippians, I'm going to finish reading Ephesians, but I want to focus on verse 27 of Ephesians chapter 4, because this is where we get it from. This is where we get the title of this topic today from. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. Six little words, powerful statement. Neither give place to the devil. What does this mean? Don't leave no room for error. Make sure you have all your bases covered in the spirit. We wondering why things are messing up in our life because maybe we're not praying enough. Maybe we're not having enough faith. Maybe we're not seeking the way. Because the Bible, maybe we're not seeking the Lord enough. And I'm not just talking about in prayer. The Bible lets us know that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have to seek the face of God every day. We have to seek the face of God in every area of our life. So we will not have room for error in our life. We have so many things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis in our life. We got so many spirits running around this world that we have to deal with. It ain't just sexual. It ain't just, you know, smoking and drinking. We deal with our flesh. We got to deal with this person over here, spirit. We got to deal with this over there. It's a whole lot we got to deal with. This is why we must neither give place to the devil. Because the devil is shrewd. The devil will come in any way he can to try to interrupt or disrupt your walk with God. Disrupt your place in God. He'll try to knock you off course any way he can. And it is up to us to stay in the will of God in every area of our life. I hear these prosperity preachers, and I hate to do this. No, I'm not. I don't hate to do this. I hate to see when prosperity, I hate to see that preachers are preaching so many prosperity messages about things of this world. You're going to get that new house. You're going to get that new business. You're going to get that new this. You're going to get that new that. But yet they're not preaching. They're preaching about things of this world, of you receiving things of this world, but they're not preaching on how to get your soul right. They're not preaching on, they're preaching a lot about money. And you wonder why the world is talking about the church. All they want is money. Yeah. Because this is what these prosperity preachers are preaching. It's all about money. If you don't give this type of thing, if you don't give this type, if you don't sow this seed, God won't bless. Let me tell you something. It is right to give. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible says so. It's right to give. It's right to give of your. It's right to give of every area of your life. Of give of your finances. Give of your time. Give of yourself. Give. But let me tell you something. It ain't all founded in materialistic stuff that like these prosperity preachers are preaching. When you give unto the Lord will give you prosperity. Sometimes when you give of yourself, the Lord will teach you how to live holy. The Lord will cut out the things out of your life that is not supposed to be there. That's true prosperity. I don't know where I'm going with this. I don't know where the Lord is about to take this, but the Lord want me to cut something down, and I ain't afraid to go there. Lord knows I ain't afraid. All of this prosperity mess that these prosperity preachers are preaching, oh, if you send this, you'll get this. Like God is an ATM. I know the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It said all these things. It didn't just say materialistic stuff. It didn't just say money. It didn't just say cars and houses. Because the Bible, that's not prosperity. I'm going to tell you now, in the spirit, that's not prosperity. Because God don't care nothing about your car, your house, your money, none of that stuff. Because ain't none of that stuff, and it ain't going to heaven nor to hell with nobody. Ain't none of that stuff going. All that stuff going to be destroyed at the end of it all. You going to get that new business. I prophesy a new business. No, wait a minute. I prophesy, look. And I don't consider myself no prophet, but I speak over the life of over you. I speak life over you. I speak salvation over you. I speak righteousness over you. I speak wisdom over you. These are the things that we need to be able to walk with God so we won't leave no room for error. I speak a better prayer life over you, that you will be so in tune with God, that you will be so in tune with God that you'll be able to hear his voice and know his voice. You'll be able to denounce the enemy when he comes. You'll be able, I speak that the spirit of discernment will be so heavy on you that you'll see the devil coming from 10 miles away. They don't speak that stuff no more. They don't preach that stuff. That I speak over your life that you shall be holy. That holiness because the Bible says holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You shall be holy. You will live righteously. You will receive the salvation of God. I'm speaking things. I'm not speaking. Look, it's good to have cars. It's good to have clothes. It's good to have money. But your soul is important. Our souls are more important than all of this mess that they're talking about. You might say, "Well, Brother Adam, you really hitting on the TV ministers." No, I ain't just talking about TV ministers. I'm talking about everybody, every person that picks up this word of God and tries to use it for their own selfish reasons. Anybody that tries to pick up the word of God and try to use it for their own selfish, greedy reasons. You trying to use it for fame and fortune? I'm talking to you. You trying to use it to get money? You better get up and get a job. Get up and get a job. That's the way you get money. Get up, get a job. Because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Because some of these so-called preachers, God ain't called you not one bit. God ain't called you. You called yourself. And God's going to shut the mouths of those who is speaking falseness. They just speaking anything that comes out of the side of their throat. They just speaking to be speaking. You sound ignorant and you sound foolish. You sound foolish. All because you want a big name, all because, this ain't that. This is why the Bible says be careful for nothing. Leave no room for error in your life. And I'm talking to sinner man, hear me today. And I don't care what sin you in. Sinner man, hear me today. Get yourself in a holiness church that preaches truth, that preaches, I'm here to tell you, that preaches holiness, that living holy is right. Living holy is still right. Living righteously is still right. That preaches the common salvation that was extended unto man. I'm off my notes right now. I don't know who I'm talking to. You want salvation. You want to be kept. Get Acts 2:38. You want peace? Get in the mind of Christ. Let God transform your mind. He said he'll keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. If you want, you might battle with depression. I don't know who I'm talking to. You are battling with depression. Those that are battling with depression, you don't have to battle with it, because the battle ain't yours. The battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. I speak against every spirit that tries to come up against the people of God, that tries to come up against the sinner man. Yeah, you might say, well, Brother Adam, why are you speaking against the spirits that come up against the sinner man? They're sinners. Okay, they need help. They need help. The sinner man needs help too. And the reason why I'm speaking for them, because they can't speak for themselves. Either they don't know how, or they haven't been taught, or maybe they've been taught. There's so many spirits that grip the sinner man. So we don't know what's going on with them unless we ask them. But it's our job as people of God to pray for them. It's our job to seek God, to see how to help the sinner man, to help the saint of God stay strong. It is our job. The Bible says, love one another. Love one another. And this is showing love. Amen. The scriptures let us know that when I was sick, Did you come to the hospital and see about me? These are the things that help people. And this is showing the love of God. Be careful for nothing. I don't know why I'm way off my notes. I don't know why I'm talking like this. But I believe this is helping somebody today. Leave no room for error. Why is it that we should leave no room for error? Because as a person of God, you should leave no room for error in your life. I'm talking to the saint of God today. My great grandmother, God rest her soul. My great grandmother used to tell me when I was a child, because I used to love. Back when I was a child, I couldn't go a day. Every time it was on, I used to watch. I used to watch professional wrestling on TV. Used to watch pro wrestling. And my great grandmother, she hated it. She hated the fact that I loved it. Couldn't go without missing it. But she used to tell me, Adam, And she knew how much, because me growing up, I used to hate going to school. I used to hate it. And I didn't like the thing, and it wasn't the people. It was the fact of me getting up and, you know, me going, getting on the bus and, you know, having to, you know, go to bed early because I had to get up and go to school. But I used to love professional wrestling. I watch it every, I watch it even now. I don't watch it as much as I used to, but what she used to tell me was, if you can learn all of those wrestlers' names, their moves and all that stuff, then you can learn your schoolwork. Basically, what she was telling me was, if I could put all that energy in learning that, I can learn my schoolwork. So I'm here to tell you, if you can put all your energy, and this is dealing with, this is one of the things that we have problems with in the body of Christ. Our faith get laxy-daisy sometimes. One minute we believe in God, the next minute we ready to walk out on God because we don't believe. Our faith is lax. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. The devil's trying to creep himself in and tell you, oh, no, God can't, God's not going to be able to do that. Oh, no, you better do it this way. And the Lord done told you to stay still. The Lord has told you. The Lord keep telling you to stay still. And you like, oh, well, God, should I move this way or should I move? And God's telling you to stay still. God done told somebody to stay still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But your faith get lax because you're in a state of wait. He done told you to wait, and you want to move. You want to move because it's looking, the storm is looking a little bit of a mess. The storm is raging. From the inside looking out, and usually you say from the outside looking in, but you're in the middle of a storm and you looking out and you seeing the waves tossing and turning, and it look like you about to go under. Still stand. Don't let your faith get lax. See, if I can put, do you not understand that us as people, do you know some of us in the body of Christ, we put more faith in chairs and in beds than we do God? Uh-oh. Somebody, what do you mean, Brother Adam? What do you mean we put more faith in chairs and beds than we do God? What do you mean? When you, and God gave me this, God gave me this analogy that when it comes to faith, and it comes to belief. Belief and faith are together. Faith is belief, and belief is faith. Now, the one thing that faith does, it helps us leave no room for error. Okay? I'm going to explain this to you. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? It says, without faith, which means a person that does not have any faith, it is impossible to please God. You need faith to please him. Why do we need faith to please God? Why do we need faith to have no room for error? We need faith. We need to believe in God, that God is going to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever ask or think. What we read in the word, we need to believe and stand on it. How do we stand? We act on the faith. Faith is an action word. How do I know faith is an action word? The songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, I praise God for saving me. Now, The Bible, I praise God. The praise that I give God moves God. The praise that I give, the faith that I have activates my praise. See, y'all need to catch this. I'm bringing it around the way God gives it to me. I want y'all to hear me. Your faith activates your praise. Your praise then activates God to move. He said in his word, he inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. You have the liberty. You now, when you praise God, when you praise him, you are moving God, and you also are gaining liberty to have more freedom to praise him. How do I get more freedom and liberty to praise him? Because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty is freedom. Liberty is freedom. So when you believe and you've activated your faith in action, the action is the praises of God. The Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. When you praise God, it moves God to be able to move for you, which leaves no room for error because God is in the midst of it. When you're going through a problem, when you're going through a test, when you're going through the problems of life, give God praise. When you're going through the problems of life, when you're going through a test, fast. When you're going, you don't believe me? I'm backing up with scripture, with fasting and praying, okay? When you're going through the problems of life, this goes for the sinner man and the child of God. When you go through the problems of life, don't you worry about the problems of life. You start praying right then. Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is telling God, God, I need this. I need you to work this situation out. Even being in the midst of it all, still stay on your knees. That's the way you fight through the problem. That's the way you see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then once you talk to God about it, you stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Read the Word. Know how God feels about that situation. Because every situation that we go through is in the Word of God. Why? Because he said in his Word, he knows the feelings of our infirmities. That's not just talking about physical. That's talking about physical, emotional, mental, financial, with everything you go through. He knows about it even before it gets there. Why? Because when we look at the man named Job, God knew that the enemy was coming for Job. God already knew. Before that problem gets to you, it has to go through God first. Leave no room for error. You can praise him. You have certain weapons that you use to get through your problems. There are certain weapons that you use in the Spirit of God to get through the issues of your life, to get through the problems of your life. Leave no room for error. That's why the Bible says be careful for nothing. Why does he say be careful for nothing? Because in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19, it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. What is that standard? That standard of protection. The enemy will try to come in, but you have to have, leave no room for error. You have to have that mindset. I'm not going to, like I said earlier, we have to learn how to board up our spiritual life. We have to board it up with that standard. We have to be in the will of God at all times. The Bible lets us know that we shall be under the shadow of the Almighty, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Amen. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Amen. There's no room for error. Let me show y'all something. I'm all out of my notes, but I'm going to show y'all this through the scriptures. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, be careful for nothing. We understand. We gotta be on alert. Matter of fact, I'm going to read that scripture in its entirety because I want you to understand. I want you to understand this. You might say, well, Brother Adam, I'm going to read verse number 6 and verse number 7 unto you. Amen. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is these verses saying to us? It is saying that be careful for nothing, which is be on alert. In everything, by prayer and supplication, in everything, in every area of your life, use prayer. Come on here. Use prayer in supplication with thanksgiving. Use praise. Use these weapons. Use these spiritual weapons that God has given us to fight against our flesh, to fight against the spirits that are running around in the world, that go against what God has said. These are the things that we must do. That's how we leave no room for error. We talked about last week the identity of Christ. The only way for us to keep our identity is to do what God has told us to do, so we will have no room for error, so we won't lose our identity. If we have errors in our life, there is a chance that we could lose our identity in Christ. What is the identity? Our relationship with God. We could lose it. Look, it might take years for you to build up a relationship. It takes years. But I have seen literally, something be spiritually be built up for years and be torn down in one day in the spirit. Everything be tossed over. And everything that was built up in those years be torn down in a flash. Everything that was built up in the spirit was destroyed by one decision, by one thing, and it was destroyed. And now it looks a hot mess. This is why we should leave no room for error. This is why I said what we did to get the Holy Ghost, what we did to get to the level that we're at, we need to do more than what we did. We need to continue to do what we did, and if that's do more, do more. Amen? We need to do more. It is our job to make sure that our souls are content with God. The reason why the Lord had me talk about the prosperity preachers is because the prosperity message that's being preached in the world is not true prosperity. It's not true prosperity. And I said that before. The prosperity of God is making sure that your soul is right. Because the Bible says you prosper as your what? Soul prosper. And if your soul is not prospering in God, you are really not prospering. So the prosperity gospel, which with the way the world sees it, is not true prosperity at all. It's not. It's false. It don't even fit in the gospel. Now, is it right to, and I'm getting off topic here, but is it right to give of your money? Is it right to? Yes. The Bible speaks of it, to give of your tithes and your offerings. It does. Speaks that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Amen. Tithes were given to Melchizedek in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, it talks about bringing your tithes and offerings to the storehouse. But in Malachi, in the book of Malachi, it talks about that. But you also give of your life. You have to not just give of your money, but you have to give of your life. You have to give of your whole self. Because a person can give and give of their tithes and give of their praise. And do you not know that there are people in hell right now that went to church? Uh-oh. Do you not know that there are people in hell right now that went to church? There are people that are in hell right now, and I'm saying this for a reason. There are people that are in hell right now. There is a person that's in hell right now that actually followed Jesus, that was with God, followed him, and that's Judas. He was the closest one, and this is what the Lord has given me. Judas wasn't in God. He was close to God, but he wasn't close to God. He wasn't in him. His thought process was not like God. His thought process was in money. That's why he sold God out. You had everything you needed in Jesus, and you sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. And the reason why I say Judas was not in God, because his mindset. Leave no room for, do you not know that when you leave room for the devil to come in, that he will come after you? First, he will come after your mind. The devil comes after people's minds. Why? Because the mind is a battlefield. That's why the old saying is, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. And when you got the devil on your back and in your mind, it's wasting away. When you're in sin, you're wasting away. That's why it's good to leave no room for error. Look, watch this. I want to show you this. That's why in verse number 7 of Philippians chapter number 4, it says, And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Why does he keep your heart in your mind? Because he knows that if the devil gets in your mind, whatever's in your mind, it's going to go to your heart, and you're going to live what's in your heart. Amen? You're going to live out what's in your heart. The true man is going to come to the door eventually. My former pastor used to say that all the time. The true man going to come to the door eventually. Whatever's in you is going to come out of you. This is why we leave no room for error. This is why we shouldn't leave no room for error. Because the devil is shrewd. The devil is shrewd. We must keep our life clean unto God. We got to keep our life clean. This is leaving no room for error. What we did, like I said earlier, what we did to get saved, we got to do that and more to keep our walk, to keep our walk right, to keep our, to keep us blameless. Well, you might say, well, Brother Adam, how, Brother Adam, I'm not perfect. Perfect is not what you have. If you have the Holy Ghost, you are perfect in the eyesight of God. Now, I don't mean, you might say, well, but I'm not, how can you say I'm perfect in the eyesight of God? Nobody's perfect but Jesus. You're right. But God considered Job to be perfect, and he had no Holy Ghost. They lived by faith in the Old Testament because there was no Holy Ghost to be given yet, because Jesus hadn't even come on the scene yet. Hadn't come on the scene, hadn't died, hadn't done none of that. The day of Pentecost hadn't even happened yet. So if he considered Job to be perfect, what does that say for us to have the Holy Ghost, to have his spirit on the inside of us? Uh-oh. If we have his spirit on the inside of us, perfect is not what you have. Perfect is a mindset. I have a strong enough mindset. I have a strong enough discipline to know, hey, I'm going to be disciplined in this, in my walk with God. That's what being perfect in the mindset of Christ is. That's what he means by being perfect. That's what he considered Job, because Job would not take down. Job would not give in for anything. He held his integrity. That is why he considered Job a perfect and upright man. That's what perfect means in the eyesight of God. But I hate it when people say, well, you know, we sin every day. Okay, you know what? You don't have to sin. You don't, some people, look, let me tell you something. Some people use that stuff, some people use that saying, I'm not perfect, God knows my heart, because they continue to want to sin. They don't want to come out of their mess. They don't want to come out. They want to stay in the mess. They want to stay, and some saints, they want to stay in their spirit. They call themselves being saved for 30 and 40 years, but they're still in spiritual huggies. They're still on the sincere milk of the Word of God. You better come off that bottle, eat the strong meat. The Bible lets us know to eat the whole roll. Eat the whole roll. You got to come off that milk. It's time to come off the milk. Now, if you are a babe in Christ, I understand. You have to take in the sincere milk of the Word of God. You can't eat strong meat. But those of us that have been saved, I give it, let me say, 5 years or more, yeah. 5 to 10 years, yeah, you able to eat meat. You able to eat some meat. Trust me. I know, because a natural kid can eat meat at 5 and 10. Between ages of 5 and 10 years old, that child can eat meat. You don't believe me? Ask my children. And if a natural child can eat meat at 5 and 10 years old, why can't you eat the meat, the spiritual meat, or in other words, eat the spinach of the Word of God? Eat the spinach. Well, some people don't like spinach. You got to eat what you don't like sometimes. Sometimes God, this word is not supposed to have us always jumping and shouting. It is here to cut out. That's why the Bible is here to cut out the things that are not of God. This is why the Bible says, and the Bible lets us know to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. When we lay it aside, we're taking it out of us. Lord, take out everything that's not like you. When we're in prayer, say, Lord, take out everything that is not like you that concerns me. That's being spiritually strong. That's leaving no room for error. I don't want no errors in my walk with God. Because if I have an error, there's a chance that the devil could pierce my walk with God. And I don't want that. Because if a piercing happens, it can deflate everything and destroy everything that God has built up in me. This is why we should be careful for nothing. Because the enemy does come in like a flood. But the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. The Spirit of the Lord is here to lift up the standard. What is the standard? The standard is salvation. The standard is righteousness. The standard is holiness. The standard is his protection. But some of us that are in the body of Christ, we tend to get laxy-daisy. We tend to want to do it our way. No, God, we tend to say, well, God gave me a new revelation. God didn't give you a new revelation. You a liar. You are a lie and the truth ain't in you. God did not change his word to fit your flesh. He did not. He did not change it. And I know he didn't change his word because God said before any tiller of his word return unto him void, heaven and earth will pass away. He said he is the word. He is his word. John chapter 1, verse 1. And he said in Hebrew, in the book of Hebrews, he said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, which means the word does not change. We try to change the word of God to fit our flesh. Why would you want to change the word of God to fit your nasty, filthy flesh? To fit your nasty, filthy desires. And I say it's nasty and filthy because guess what? We came into this world filthy. We came into this world nasty. Sin is nasty. Sin stinks in the nostrils of God. Sin is a mess. We came into this world in iniquity. David said it in the book of Psalms. In sin did my mother conceive me. In sin. Sin stinks in the nostrils of God. So we know that sin is nasty. Why would you want to fit? Why would you want to fulfill the nastiness of the sins of your life? Come out of the sinful God. Look, I know nobody. Look, let me tell you something. Anybody that in the natural that wants to sit in nastiness is something wrong. It's wrong. Amen. And God has made a way for us to be clean. To be clean. The devil wants you to be nasty. The devil wants you to be dirty in your sins. Why? Because all filthiness in sin, all sin will have its partake in the lake of fire. That's where sin goes. The devil knows where he's going, and he wants to take everybody he can with him. He's crazy like that. And he knows his time is short. We must not leave no room for error. And how do we get this? How do we keep our life clean? Matthew chapter 17, verses 16 through 21 lets us know that. And matter of fact, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it to you. And I'm going to read the way we keep ourselves clean and done. I'm going to read verse 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. We have to use the weapons to keep ourselves clean. Once we receive salvation, once we receive righteousness, and once we start walking in holiness, we have to keep ourselves that way. It's our job to keep ourselves that way. Now, with the help of the Lord. What do you mean by the help of the Lord? Acts 1 and 8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. Power to what? Power to live right. Power to be clean. Power to stay clean. Amen. We have to stay clean, leaving no room for error. Because if our life is in error, if our life is in error after it's all said and done, if our life is in error and we ain't repented for the errors, and we ain't walking in holiness when Jesus comes, don't you know you'll miss the mark? You will not see heaven. The Bible lets us know. You got to get it right before. The Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. What does that mean? That means whatever's in my life that is wrong, whatever's in my life that is not right in the eyesight of God, I got to get it right. Because no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall appear. We're going to be like, look, if we do not get it right, we're going to be like them five foolish virgins. They thought they was right. They let their lamps go out. They let the fire in their lamps go out. They thought that they was ready to meet the bridegroom, but they let their fire go out. Amen? They let their fire go out. And then when they went to go get recharged, the bridegroom came. They waited. They were sleeping. They were sleeping when they should have been trying to get themselves together. And there's a lot of people that are sleeping in their error of their ways, and they're not trying to get it right. This is people, and I'm talking to people today that have errors in their life, and they're not trying to fix it. I ain't talking to the ones that are trying to fix it. If you're trying to fix it, that's great. Power, more power to you. If you're trying to walk with God, amen. This is for the people that ain't trying to fix it. They feel like, okay, wait a minute. I don't need to fix that. I'm okay where I am. No, you ain't. No, you are not. And I'm here to tell you that you're not. If you still doing the same stuff before you got saved, or you haven't received salvation, you need to get it right today, because no man know the day nor the hour. You will miss heaven. You will miss heaven if your soul is not right. And I would hate for that to happen to anybody, but this is the way God has put it. If you and I do not have, this is for the unsaved, this is for the ones that have not received the Spirit of Christ. If you do not receive the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Romans 8, chapter 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If you do not receive the Spirit of God, you are none of his. I don't care how much you jump. I don't care how much you shout. I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much you've given unto that minister. I don't care how much you've shaken the preacher's hand. I don't care how much confession you done done. I don't care how much. If you do not have his Spirit, you are none of his. And the Bible lets us know in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, when he told Nicodemus, if you are not born again of the water and the Spirit, you will not see the kingdom of God. That's just the way it is. If you have not been born of the water and the Spirit, you will not see heaven. And this is true. This is biblical truth. I'm not saying nothing that's off the top of my head. I'm giving you straight Bible. This is the word of God, and he has made it so plain to us. Now, for the ones that are in the body of Christ, if you lacksy-daisy in your walk with God, and you feel like you ain't trying to get it right, you're going to miss the mark, too, if you don't get it right. This ain't just for the sinner, man. This is for the righteous. Because the word of God hits the righteous first. That goes for me, too. If I ain't living, look, I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to say it like my former pastor used to say. If you ever see Minister Adam Tuggle, I'm going to say it like my pastor said. If Minister Adam Tuggle chooses to walk away from God, which I'm not. I'm not saying I'm in sin. I'm not saying I'm doing nothing sinful. But I'm hitting it home today. Leave no room for error. If you see Minister Adam Tuggle is one day preaching the word of God, living holy, and then all of a sudden I choose to lose my mind and go another opposite way, don't you follow me. My pastor used to say that all the time. If you see me going astray, don't you follow me. Because there's a lot of preachers that are sending and I'm going to say it the way the Lord gave it to me. They're sending people to hell by what they're saying. And some of them don't give no cares about nobody's soul. And some of them are trying to please the flesh. Some of them are trying to please people. Some of them are trying to this ain't that. It's either holiness or hell. It's either righteousness or it's not. It's either black or white. It's either light or darkness. You must choose ye this day whom you gonna serve. You must hate the one and love the other. You got to choose. You have to choose. Matter of fact, we have to be separate from the world. The Bible says so in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Lets us know that. And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 19. Lets us know that. We got to be separate. We got to be separate from the world. Well, we got to do something we got young people out there. We got to do something to draw them, give them the same thing that they gave us. Get to the altar. And I'm going to say it an evangelist said it one time. She said it just like this. Give them the altar. Give them the same thing they gave us. Give them an altar. Their flesh is out of control. Your flesh is out of control because you're not doing what God has called for you to do. You came into the sinner man. For the sinner man, you came into this world of sinners, so your flesh is going to be out of control. Get your flesh under control by receiving the salvation. Get your life together by receiving salvation. well, I'll get my life together. You know, I'll come to God once I get my life together. You can't get your life together. If you could, you wouldn't need Jesus. If you could, God wouldn't have had to die. You came into this world a sinner. You came into this world with your life out of control, spiritually. You dealing with, and if you saved and you dealing with issues, get to the altar. Stay down on your knees. Fast and pray. Amen. We read Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. These things goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Don't you know that fasting crucifies your flesh? And I'm not talking, and I'm going to go there. I ain't talking about no Daniel fast because that's not in the Bible. That's not biblically sound. Because I'm going to say it this way. Who would you rather fast like? Would you rather fast like Daniel or would you rather fast like Jesus? I'm just going to leave it like that. Jesus, I'd rather fast like my creator. I want to be more like Jesus. I ain't trying to be more like Daniel. I'm trying to be more like Jesus. They sitting over here saying this. People are sitting over here taking the word of God and saying that, well, a Daniel fast. Ain't no such thing. That was not a fast. If I'm going to fast, I'm going to fast the way the Lord told me to. The way the Lord told me to fast. I'm going to fast without food or drink. Uh-huh. That's a fast. Staying away from the things of this world. It separates you. Amen. Matter of fact, I want to read this in these last few minutes that I have. I want to read this to you. Because the Bible, through my notes, I haven't been following my notes. I've just been going on the Spirit of the Lord on today. Amen. And sometimes that'll happen. But in Hebrews chapter number 12, this is how we, Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1. This is how we do this. This is how we make it. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In this race, in this spiritual race, we're trying to get to heaven. God is with us. But, and this is for the sinner man today. This is for what I'm getting ready to say is for the sinner man. Because I hear people say, well, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. And I got him around me. He's always with me. Well, let me say it like this. Would you just rather have him around you or him in you? If you have not received the baptism in Jesus' name, the way it is recorded in Acts 2 and 38 and 39, there is salvation that has been extended unto man. And that salvation is Jesus. You must take on his name to receive his spirit. Say, now, you might say, well, I've been baptized. I've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, I'm here to tell you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you've been baptized, okay. But there is a but, because the Lord does not want you to just have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because those are titles. God doesn't just want you to just confess and believe in your heart. Pray the sinner's prayer and that's it. He don't, that's part of it. But he wants you to go a step further than that. He wants you to take on his name. In Acts 2 and 38, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This was done on the day of Pentecost. This was what God was talking about when he said, go ye therefore, preach and teach and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name is Jesus. When he told his disciples to go and do this, telling them to go in his name. In Colossians 3 and 17, it says, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We must do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, because that is the name that went to the cross. That is the name that saved us. That is the name. Now, those titles that are attached to that name is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's why he said name. The name of the Father. And you might say, well, Brother Adam, well, if I just get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I've been baptized in the name. No, it's not. Mm-mm. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Father, Son, and Holy Ghost saying being baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you could be baptized in anybody's name. Saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who's the Father, who's the Son? There's no name there. What is the name? I'm a father and I'm a son and I have the Holy Ghost, but my name is Adam. I'm a son. I'm a father to my children. I'm a son to my parents. And I'm a brother to my sisters and my brother. And I'm a husband. I'm a husband to my wife. But ain't nobody on God's creation, ain't no woman on God's creation that I'm not married to going to call me their husband. Ain't no man or no woman going to call me their son on God's creation, and I'm not their child. I'm not their son. They going to call me by my name. They ain't going to say, hey, husband. When you call somebody, you call them by name. You call them by name. When my wife needs me to do something, she calls me by my name. Adam. When my father needs me to do something, when I'm at church or something, when my pastor needs me to do something, call me by my name, because there's a distinction there. Call you by your name. That distinct name, when I hear my name, I know I'm distinctly being called. Oh, okay, he calling me, or she calling me. They need something from me. Peter is letting us know that, hey, when you call on the name of Jesus, there's a distinction. You have to be baptized in his name to reap the benefits. I said this on Facebook, and I'm going to quit. And this is not, I'm done with the lesson, but I'm going to say this. As I grew up in my father's house, I needed, underneath my father, I had many benefits. I had many benefits underneath my father's name. Why? Because I had my father's last name. My father is William Tuggle. I'm Adam Tuggle. I have taken on my father's last name, and I lived in my father's house. What are the benefits of my father? I had dental. I had health. I had health care. I had a roof over my head. I had food on my table and everything, right? We used to have friends come over and spend the night. See, this is where it breaks down. We used to have friends come over. Me and my brothers and my sister used to have friends come over and spend the night. The benefits of my father fell on my friends when they'd spend the night, right? When they would come over and spend the night, they would have some of the benefits, but not all of them. Why? Because they did not have my father's last name. They did not live in our house. They didn't live in the house. But when they would come over, they would see partial of the benefits. Because why? Because my father loved them enough to give them. What are the partial benefits of my father that he gave our friends? A roof over their head for the night, food to eat, a pillow to lay on, a cover to cover up with. Those are the benefits. A nice, enjoyable time at the house. Sometimes we would go and get pizza and watch movies and stuff. Those are benefits. Those are memories for them. But that stuff came from the benefits of my father. It came from when we go out and get pizza. That money came from my father working. Amen? But they don't have my father's last name. And that's the same thing with Jesus. If you do not have his spirit, you are living beneath your privilege. You are reaping some of the benefits of God, but you're not reaping all of the benefits of God. Because you have not taken on the Father's name. The only way you take on the Father's name is through Acts 2 and 38. Otherwise, you'll receive partial of the benefits. How do I know I'm receiving partial of the benefits of God? Because he said he reigns over the just and the unjust. That's why I said, just because you receive a nice house and a nice car and you're jumping and shouting over the car and the house and all that stuff does not make you saved. Just because you say the sinner's prayer don't make you saved. But it's the actions of what you believe in. If you believe, you're going to act on what you believe. And the action that God said that you have to take is to repent and be baptized in his name and receive his spirit. We quoted it earlier, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If you do not have the spirit of God, you're none of his. Amen. I pray that this blessed you. I pray that this word blessed your soul. Amen. And also, I want to say this before we go. In receiving the Holy Ghost, you don't have to be old nor young to receive it. You can receive it at any age, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, and this promise, the promise is the Holy Ghost. And this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. So anybody can receive the Holy Ghost. There is no age limit. There is no age limit. Everybody got to do it. Everybody got to do it. I pray for you as you pray for me. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week. Amen. It's Labor Day weekend, y'all. Labor Day weekend. And we're laboring. We're laboring in the spiritual vineyard today. Amen. So go ahead. Have a very, very blessed weekend. Have a very, 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 very blessed and happy and safe Labor Day, y'all. Have a very blessed and safe Labor Day. Go out, spend time with your families. Go out tomorrow. Go to church. Get into a holiness-filled church that baptizes in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That still believes in the holiness of God. Amen. God bless you. I love you. And we will see you back here next week on the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, where it is our fervent prayer that you be transformed. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio and you can't see me, I'll edit it a little bit. If you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name.